Everything's gonna be alright this morning.
We men's is up in here. That's why we ain't going for no bull. You know what? It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Wednesday. We're live. It's the 8 o'clock hour. You know what that means. I am the derivative. The apple that's fallen from the tree. From the root. Kate Thompson live. I am her son, Citizen Payne. And this is the new hour. The same hour. Evolved hour, like my mom put me on her shoulders when she'd always say, you, Lisa, Gina, Christie, she called it, she spoke it into existence, so that's why I'm talking to you right now, Citizen Payne, with my friends, Byron, Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders, the legendary historian, Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman. We are here to talk about it, speaking power to truth, because you know what, we're kind of some old black men, and we ain't got time for the who you know what. I'm going to try to keep the other type of language down to a minimum because I know I can get a little carried away from time to time. But you know what? If you're paying attention to the words that I'm using and not the message that I'm using them to portray or to get across to you, then the message is not for you because you would understand why I'm using the language if it were. That's people calling. Once again, they like to try me out when I'm in the middle of the showtime. When I'm in the middle of doing the show, you know, people try to come in and let you know that they're listening, I guess. But when you're in the middle of doing something, you got to keep moving on. All right. So I'm going to have to disconnect that phone call. I don't know. Sometimes people know what your schedule is and they still forget. Here we go. But let's go on to what's happening because we got a lot of important stuff to go talk to and get into this week. You know, I didn't get a chance to say this last week. Ahmaud Arbery. So, you say those words, that name, three times for him. My mother said that years ago for a brother named Yusuf Hawkins, who was unjustly murdered in New York by an angry mob of, yes, some white folks. Not all white folks are bad, we know that, but this was an angry racist mob. And so, in one of her radio broadcasts, she said, say his name out loud three times. And she said those three that name three times. So, that's why I wanted to get his name out. And people are texting and everything. Keep calling in if the line is busy, brothers and sisters, all right now. So what we want to get into that in the past week, you know, a couple more people got sick at the White House. We're going to have to start pitching this out in pictures, you know, so we can explain what's going on in our country in a picture book for those of us that might not be able to read or don't have that much book learning. Because there appear to be some people that ain't got that much book learning, and you have to break things down in pictures. So maybe if we show them a picture of what the United States looked like before pandemic as opposed to in the middle of the pandemic, maybe if we show them a picture of what it looked like before Charlottesville, a place like Charlottesville as opposed to, well, during Charlottesville, before Charlottesville as opposed to during Charlottesville, and the response in the two, maybe we can get them to see the differences of America before and America after. America when it was always still great. Always great because we got Americans that have always been pushing to make it greater. You know, when they saw a wrong, they tried to right it. When they saw someone that needed food, they tried to feed them. When they saw somebody that had no shoes, they tried to give them shoes. Because that's what America does. That's what's made America always great. So when you come in and somebody wants to put their stamp on it and say, let's make it great again, make it great to who? From your perspective? So in that, let's do a little picture book history. Let's look and see what America was like before when these people that want to say make it great again, when they claim it wasn't so great. Let's look at America, what it was. Look through the pictures. Were people walking around with face masks on, having to stand 6 feet from their loved ones, not being able to hug their mother, their father, and whoever else? Were they? No, I think not. I think probably what was happening was that they were able to call and hug each other. Probably were they able to say, take their people, their parents to the doctor without fear of, say, them catching a lethal disease? Were they? So let's get a picture book for those people who seem not to have no book learning. So maybe we can get them a nice big picture book so they can see the pictures, and maybe we could break it down to Sesame Street time and say, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not like the other. Maybe we can get them to see it then. Then if that doesn't work, I don't know. Maybe we just need to put them out the pasture, let them walk around the grounds, just as long as we take the sharp knives and electrical objects from them so they won't hurt themselves. Because clearly they have not the mental capacity to make decisions for themselves. So that's just my opinion. Let's bring the brothers in. I got Byron Saunders, the first one on the line. Brother Byron, legendary historian. How you doing this evening?
Well, Eric,
stop laughing.
I must say,
for a second there,
you started out with some serious gut bucket blues. And I was like, okay, is Eric broadcasting from the kitchen? Because if he is,
that's another story, brother. We're going to push the people to the kitchen report at another time.
That's right.
So, and that was Muddy Waters, by the way. Everybody
want to
know that music was Muddy Waters. By the way,
that's right.
Sometimes you need a little Muddy Waters and some of them old blues cats to give you some clarity.
Ooh wee, because that's the show enough, all right? Anyway, any event, my brother, it's good to see that you're operating on all eight cylinders this evening. And boy, have we, it's like each week redefines what could be the lowest point of our country. And we keep realizing it can get even lower. And it's about to go that direction as we see the evidence of, like I said last week, we're going to have 50 million people unemployed. Now, whether you want to believe the numbers are right or wrong, it doesn't really matter, because those numbers are the hard numbers, and those are the ones they want to admit that they will be unemployed. 50 million people, my friends. They're talking about 20% of the population and higher. We were at 3.4% unemployment just 6 weeks ago, and you're still putting your faith in a commander-in-chief who can't keep a virus or a taco from crossing our borders and doing damage to us. It's time for him to go. He is not a leader. And you got to stop calling him as such. Call him out and his administration and the Senate to want to keep just giving more of our money to the rich while the rest of us are suffering. By the way, I looked at the economic impact of Mitch McConnell's state in Kentucky. Come to find out, his folks are starving worse than the folks in Arkansas. Y'all better wake up.
There it is for your opening statement, Byron. Let's go in and get the legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. See what he has to say and get his opening statement about the issues. Wayne, how you doing, Mr. Newsman?
Good evening, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. And, I just hope, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Yeah,
we had problems. Yeah. Yeah, I just want to make sure because, you know, the White House was trying to block me about 5 minutes ago with the double signal business, but that's a whole nother story. And I heard your comments at the beginning there, Eric. You know, I have to agree, you know. I don't even know if picture books or, you know, to break it down to something that is so basic for other people on the other side to understand. I feel that there needs to be a demonstration to get the FCC to shut down Fox News. That's one thing. You know, there's so much misinformation, so much water carrying on the part of that network that is despicable. I made the fatal mistake of raising my blood pressure last night watching Sean Hannity because I got tired of all the unpleasant news coming out of the CDC, the Trump administration, on a regular network that provides a balanced point of view. You know, so I said, you know,
Wayne, let me interrupt you real quick. So you chose to wind down by turning on to Fox. Am I to understand?
I just wanted to see. I know that sounds like as if I'm smoking my drapes and all that. I understand that, but every once in a while, I need a diversion. You know, Chicago was not on. Chicago PD. The stuff that I normally watch, you know, just to distract myself from what's going on. Because, you know, I'm a lonely brother, man. I'm a black man here in the bowels of the Bronx, all by myself here. So I have to keep myself entertained as well as informed. And, you know, every once in a while I want to see what the enemy's talking about. And
I
between Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, you know, I just find it so awful that they allow programming like that crap to go on and that the idiots out there, forgive me, that are listening to this and feel this man deserves a second term. Then I turn to MSNBC this evening and I see that the numbers are narrowing, that he's actually gaining or fortifying his base. And I'm just saying, he's killing people out here. Someone from the Hollywood community started a Trump death clock in Times Square. And I think that's excellent. It's one thing to see what the regular clock has up there in terms of world spending. But how many lives does this man cost us? And you're still supporting this one. There's I believe the CNN poll now puts Biden with a 5% lead over Trump. Incomprehensible. So the only
Don't
thing
believe
that I
that
have
hype.
To come again?
Don't believe that hype. You know, listen.
I mean, the thing is, I want to take CNN
and
MSNBC,
and
the old WLIB.
I know, but let me ask you a question, Ray, because that question the numbers and as the polls are going to be coming forth is reflecting in whose community. Because at the point in which you're going to have 50 million people unemployed, okay, not getting any more checks for the moment, at $1,200 goes out the window, and you know for a fact that by the incidents that have just revealed themselves 2 months late out of the Texas town or wherever that boy got killed, you know, 2 months later, that's almost like 2 years getting the emancipation news in Texas late. 2 months in Georgia.
I hear what
I'm saying? And you have more incidents that are taking place. And I'm telling you, whatever numbers these polls are taking, I can guarantee you they're not accurate because they've been lying to us about these numbers. And they've been bamboozling the networks about the numbers. You can't have 50 million people. I said this, a year ago when they passed the Tax Credit Act? $1 trillion deficit was blown into the hole of our economy.
The head of the Federal Reserve got on today and said that the future looked bleak. You know?
Very, very bleak. Listen, those
jobs that they are talking about they're going to be rehiring, those are hourly jobs. They're not salaried positions. There's a huge difference.
That's
and
right.
The salaried positions are the ones that 3 out of every 5 Americans are salaried employees, which means that they are basically in the service industry. That's
yeah.
why they want to open up this country, is because they want more people of color in service for those who are can afford to pay.
We're the front line, and we're facing.
That's right, because they don't want to raise. They don't want to give them, a minimum.
The minimum wage.
Come on,
mm-hmm.
Listen. These are people. That 50 million people is going to even get worse. And the food costs. I said this before. You can't do trade tariffs, and in the midst of having a drought, and your crops being destroyed. And you're seeing food prices starting to hike out the ceiling.
Yeah,
this is
right.
This is
impressive.
Stuff we're in.
Let's back up
so
a little
no
bit.
Way he, that's right. There's no way he can have 40% of the population wanting to keep him in office. That's just bogus.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with Byron exactly that. I think that if those numbers are, and I've been saying the same thing, that any way that anytime he has any positive numbers, I'm pretty sure that those are going to be numbers where they're mostly his supporters anyway. So we can't. That's kind of skewed, right? They're zombies. They're going along with whatever he says. So the fact that he has 80%, 90% of the Republican Party voting for him, I don't care. And I've been saying, as you guys have known, that we need to stop worrying about getting Republicans to vote for us and expanding our Democratic pool, getting some of those 130 million Americans who didn't vote, who sat out in the last presidential election, to realize it behooves you to come out. And certainly a large number of that pertains to our ethnic group of people, and to show them, as I did in the Kitchen Report, Byron, that you saw, that it is life and death.
Yeah.
It is life and death.
Yeah.
It boils down to pretty much life and death, particularly for us, because I was going to ask you to say the ethnic background of those hourly workers, because as we know, they happen to be black and brown people as well.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that we're the first ones at risk, the ones taking care of people, and then by the time it comes around to again, we're put back in the same trick bag. I happen to see some of the same clips you talked about, Wayne, about the Fox News, Laura Ingraham, and Sean Hannity. I just call them lies. They're liars. They're liars, and to say ridiculous – I mean, the things they say are so ridiculous, like what's-her-face Ingraham talking about Fauci wasn't elected to anything. Why would you – I mean, the thinking person would say, duh, he's the doctor, right?
Well,
but what they see, what they hear is, yeah, right on, he's not elected to anything, and it becomes a political fight to them, as opposed to a life and death or a medical fight. Here's what I would say. If I was working for Trump and he were to listen, I'd say, hey, Mr. President, don't make it about you and him. Just say, like most people say about their doctor, my doctor is cautious, because that's what doctors do. Doctors are supposed to be cautious. Now, we understand what he's saying, and we will make our decision accordingly, as opposed to making it adversarial, confrontational, us against them all the time. But that's what they want. See, a lot of people talk about it's all us, we're all in this together. No, we're not. The only thing that makes it all of us in this together is that we can all catch it. But the response to it and how we respond to all of us catching it, one caring about the other, is different. Just like all of a sudden, lo and behold, we started protesting once they saw the real statistics about who was disproportionately being affected. All of a sudden, the very next week, people said, oh, it was just them black and brown people. I want to go back to work. The heck with them. Let's go protest. So that being the case, then we need to know, bottom line, what it is. Biden or death. You know, and
that's
when we
right.
talk about this guy, let's jump into Fauci. I mean, just the fact that I'm glad we got into this, because one of the first things I put on the description of the show tonight was Fauci's testimony on Capitol Hill to the Senate.
And in particular, I want to talk about Rand Paul, who was tested for COVID-19 positive, has the nerve to come back to Capitol Hill not wearing a mask, which is what a lot of Republicans wanted to do. They're the ones who wanted to come have this and come back on the Hill, by the way. It was Mitch and those guys who wanted to come back on the Hill and potentially expose everybody. But then tells Dr. Fauci, you're not the end-all, be-all, I don't think you're all that. This guy is one of the ones who tested positive, not wearing no mask, talking to the dude that is just trying to save everybody that America has looked to as the expert since the AIDS pandemic. The AIDS virus came out some 20, 30 years ago. And here's this jackass who gets over by saying, I'm a doctor too, but he doesn't tell you he's an eye doctor. He just throws it out there, I'm a doctor too. You know, so, you know, respect my opinion, and I do respect your schooling as a doctor, not to, no disrespect to all the eye doctors, but they'll be the first ones to tell you, if you need a surgery, don't call me. I'm an eye doctor.
That is, right?
Well, Eric, the only thing that I could say about what's his name down there in Kentucky, I mean, it's just he's no different than your description of Mike Pence. You know, which we did not discuss on the air last week, and I mean, he to me, they're all part of the same pack, trying to force an agenda with 6 months to go, and hoping that they, you know, maintain their base and get a little over, just to have that electoral college run in their direction again. Even if Biden has the popular vote, it's that group that we have to sit around and worry about. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, we can't afford to stop. You know, we have to pull out all the forces to make sure this is a landslide, that there is no question as to whether who wins or who should hold that seat now, you know. And I think every city, every major city and town that could afford to have a Trump death watch clock, they need to put one up just to see how many of us are actually going. And how this thing is spreading, you know? I think it's despicable.
Wayne, I think you got
back in the day, gentlemen, if we were on the breeze, your mother and I were on the breeze popping the nonsense that a Laura Ingraham and a Tucker Carlson and a Hannity would say, they would have shut us down. The FCC would have shut us down. Why is there a double standard for that?
Just like there's a double standard for that. Son of a cop, former cop who can kill a black guy jogging in the community where he actually belongs in, and then make up an excuse as to why it was a stand your ground issue. The guy following, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty by association. Stop lying to us. I'm not buying your bull crap. You're guilty with your monkey's haircut. Who the hell are you? You think you JCQ? You're now the studio in that part of Georgia where you're filming, you know, real life incidents.
Terry,
stop playing with me.
I know
right.
What you're talking about.
It's like this is the part where I'm telling you guys, if this keeps happening, the scab will be pulled off, and there will be pus flowing everywhere.
It's flowing now, brother.
Stop. That's right. They're going to have to put a cap on this one quickly. This has the potential to get so way out of hand. Forget about the virus. When you have this happening and the explosion that is about to happen called summer, y'all better stand clear. That's true.
What's your guys' thoughts on they were talking about members of the White House now, members of, and I forget if this happened before Wednesday or after that Stephen Miller's wife was tested positive, but now you know Mike Pence is has quarantined himself, and you know the press conference from the Rose Garden that your boy, President Donnie, likes to have. You know, he likes to have people around him, and he likes the adulation and all that. But I've noticed, as I said before, in pictures, the press conference looks a little bit different. Because you remember before, about a week and a half ago when he had him, he would have everybody up on the podium, come on up, make the stand at the president's podium, make the sting, shaking hands. Now, those making a presentation, there's another podium set up for them about 15 feet away from the president. What I see is that this president is taking the science seriously when it comes to him. And when it comes to everybody else, go on out there, expose yourself, because all of a sudden, everybody's wearing masks now except him. All of a sudden, everybody's standing away from him except him. He was lava-level mad that he might have been exposed to it, because the only person that's important is him, okay? So the only person, I guess this is what's baffling to all of us sane people, is that how, you know, you can still follow an individual when the pictures that he says, the very next day when he says, nope, there's nothing wrong, the very next day when his little Barbie press secretary girl comes out there and says, there's no reason to test everybody every hour because the next hour, and we will be testing everybody every day. What happens not 2 days later? That's when the press secretary, the vice president's press secretary, gets it, because she might have caught it within those hours that old girl was talking about. You don't need to test everybody for. But here they were saying you don't need to test everybody every hour, but what happened? Because obviously you didn't test her that hour that you guys were practicing, and this woman, the press secretary, Miller's wife, her and the vice president were the only ones walking around without a mask. So my question is, how many people have they infected? How many people is Trump and Pence, how many people are they walking around affecting? This guy wants to have the memorial thing and have World War II vets come out so he can walk up there with him and expose all of these 80- and 90-year-old individuals to him. Wants to have the West Point address. They told him at 3M's manufacturing the other day when he wanted to go visit the factory in Pennsylvania. No thanks, Mr. President. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't know if you guys heard about that story in the news, that the White House, and they were pushing for that visit, that site visit. And since those brothers and those heroes, because they've been locked in that factory for a month to make sure that they weren't sick and to make sure that they were producing these masks to help the rest of the country, this president, excuse my language, he's almost took me there.
Go ahead, man.
This president wants to go there and potentially affect the guys that are working to make the mask for the rest of the country. How arrogant. How very King George. I'm just got my head up my you-know-what of this guy. And like you said, Wayne, we have to beat him overwhelmingly. We have to have everybody come out so it is a mandate landslide that even the electors – who sometimes will do what they want to do, not what the will of the people, but even they will not be able to steal this one for him. Because like I've been saying for the last couple of years, you guys know that it is just a race, and he is trying to put every individual in place to complete his coup. And he tests and tests. That's why he wanted to meet with Comey, find out if he was down with him. What's his face? The little Klansman, the first Klansman, Sessions, wasn't quite down to go to jail for him, to risk jail time for him. So that's why he let him go. But now you got people like Barr and I guess the lieutenant governor of Texas, and I guess Glenn Beck, people saying that people should be, you know, there's more important things than living. Really? You know what's going to jam then? Here's my prediction. If things get worse, where this virus is attacking all of these young people, children, he's really going to suffer a bad election. He might suffer worse than that from some of his own party. If it gets worse, where it's killing off, where this particular strain of the virus is killing off children, he's going to suffer a devastating rejection from his own people. I just wanted to say, if anybody wants to vent or sound off on anything we're saying, or make you put your little two cents in, we're going to open up the phone lines a little bit for at least one or two people to call in if they want to just get it off your chest, because sometimes it's good to talk about it and yell every once in a while. And the number is 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906. And for some reason,
it's like therapy. Call us now.
For some reason, Katie Couric is on my screen, and I'm hearing too much about Katie Couric. And
what happened with her?
if you guys want to speak on that. Well, you didn't. Katie Couric decided to reveal. Byron, I'm sure you're aware of this. She decided to reveal
an old news story
about 2 weeks
Washington?
Old. Yeah, she interviewed
I used to laugh until she came out against O.J. Simpson.
I'll tell you. She interviewed Denzel Washington some years ago, and apparently from this interview, then she was asking some rather from what I was reading in one of the articles I read. Some of the questions were a little bit ignorant, actually, and Denzel wasn't feeling it, and he kind of let her know, checked her a little bit, and now these years later. I guess someone was interviewing her. I would have to suppose it's about something related to that, because that's the only way I could figure out how you would just happen to bring something like that up after years later. But she was talking about how she felt a little uncomfortable because Denzel was kind of not the best interview that day, and you know, she felt uncomfortable because of the way he responded. I'm paraphrasing all of this stuff, but it was just
it kind of seemed
to come out of nowhere. Yeah. And I would only assume that's because she was probably being interviewed. Maybe somebody asked her most awkward. I think that's what it was prompted. Most awkward interview, something like that. And she went into this description about feeling uncomfortable because of that. And we know that Katie will ask stupid questions. I thought it was particularly insulting, even though it was on point, to ask Sarah Palin, you know, what newspapers do you read? That's an insulting question. But Sarah Palin not reading news. Sarah Palin really not reading, being a person who reads newspapers, who didn't realize how. Whatever, just
well,
really
she saved us.
Answer, but yeah, I mean, but that was. I just wanted to know if you guys had a quick opinion on this 2 weeks news, and I can only assume that she's got a little bump of popularity. Doesn't even seem like something we'd need to address, right?
Oh, it's like Becky calling in, and there's people out there barbecuing, and those people, they got a barbecue thing going on. So Katie Couric gets her Becky moment.
Yeah, she gets her Becky Karen moment. So we'll just let that go.
Eric.
Yes, sir.
I gotta ask you this because you put it out there with the speculation of it getting worse. All right. Here's a prediction. Here's a prediction that I can see it coming. We're at that 100,000 death mark, the million mark, whatever the death mark. We're at, 70,000 deaths now?
Somewhere I think we're at 83,000 now.
We're at 83. Okay. When it gets over 100,000, you're going to, especially if indeed the infection is inside the Oval Office, as you have just speculated and has been confirmed by media, that mark plus the infection inside the Oval Office will engage and ignite a conversation about the 25th Amendment. And here's the reason why. And play it forward. If the administration is infected, they can't govern. And that's what's going to come up. Okay, because it's like, just follow the line. Okay.
Right. But the third in line is Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, exactly. And to follow the line of succession is to understand one of the reasons why it hasn't come back up, but it is going to. I'm guaranteeing you guys, when it gets up over 100,000 deaths and you start having some panic with respect to the virus itself becoming to infect more of the Midwest and the southern states, there will be a rush to end it way before November gets here. Because it can't.
Can I get a piece of that action? I might want to get a piece of that action. Anybody listening, Byron, you taking bets? You gonna be a bookie, Byron?
Yeah, come on,
I don't agree with you. All right, you're lucky.
May I comment on something that history has shown us?
On.
I mean,
go ahead, Wayne.
You may have a point there. There's a likelihood he could very well be testing positive, but he wants the world to know that he's negative. You know, he is probably playing out of the playbook. Was it Franklin Delano Roosevelt who suffered polio, and
he would
conduct a news conference at a desk so no one could see him standing?
You
know, because
you can't
they
really
want to give the impression of being weak.
That's the only comparison between the two of those individuals that you could possibly make.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Night and day. Well, I mean, listen, I'm just speculating. I'm not saying that Roosevelt was like Trump. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a perception situation, a visual perception situation, and it was admitted that years later, it came out long before, I think even before he died, that he did that just to show that he was large and in charge. You know, who's to say, I know Trump dyes his hair, and he certainly does a lot with his face to give the impression that he is healthy, but, you know, I think he suffers from jaundice. But then again, who am I? You know, I'm not Fauci. You know, but the bottom line is that this could all be a prop. You know, see, walks around without a mask. You know,
it's all props. I mean,
to me, the 25th Amendment should be imposed regardless of whether it comes out.
They're not going to impose it because of the power structure. I mean, they might impose it. I doubt they'll impose it because of where it leads them in the lineup of power, and. If you impose the 25th Amendment, maybe all that stuff happens. We're talking about the end of the summer, going to September, October. By that time, they're going to be like, ah, the heck with it. It's only another month left over for Mike Pence, unless they want to go in and attempt to impose the 25th Amendment, take him out of office, run Pence as their presidential candidate. But none of that makes any type of real sense. They might just try to ride or die it out with him, or you know, maybe that'll be the opportunity for some of those Republicans that really are not too thrilled with Trump, from my sources, and are just, they don't have the power now to challenge him. But from what I understand, from what some people tell me, that they're not as happy either now, you know, and they're just, and I guess they're basically biding their time. Because a lot of people don't understand is, you're going to have very few individuals do things to put their job in jeopardy. And at the end of the day, these people are, this is their job. And they have bills like everybody else, mortgages, children, college, all of these things. So something to consider, whether you feel whether it's right or wrong or whatever, to give you full context, something to consider is that these individuals have jobs. And if they're in risk of losing their job, it may be a privilege, but the reality is, how many individuals do you know are going to do things to put their job in jeopardy? That's all you need to think about. So when we assume that certain individuals are making certain decisions based on, that's the bottom line, power, money. And for every human being that goes to work every day and understands that certainly someone is not going to put their job on the line. So I only say that's something to take into consideration also on top of the fact of their ideology coming from someone who might believe in supremacy, someone who might believe in conservatism where, you know, anti-immigration. So all of those things, you know, I mean, this is a whole nuanced layer thing. This is why I push the point in that we need to have some sort of test for people to be able to vote and take part in the political process now, because it's too much at stake for you to just go in willy-nilly, not knowing what you're talking about, not paying attention to any facts, and to do that. So there's going to have to be some basics, even if it's something as simple as what is the line of succession. Just give us the top three for the presidency of the United States. That could be something that's pretty simple, something that somebody could learn on a pamphlet, like 1, 2, 3, 1 + 1 = 2, or whatever you need to learn. That's my little output on that. I don't know how you guys think. I'm interested to hear. You going to say, Wayne?
No, I was just, you know, just to piggyback on what I was saying earlier, you know, a lot of these people who are elected to position, they have a side hustle. There's an integrity factor. That impeachment vote that took place several months ago, you know, was a resounding lesson to a lot of us at how far they would go to let this man carry on. Because to me, that amendment, things should have stopped then. And then when he came out with the Clorox and Kool-Aid, you know, to me, that did it for me. It was right there. I mean, I knew all along there was something wrong. But when he was advocating and espousing that level of thinking, I clearly thought there was time for someone to come in and have him analyzed, you know? But because he is so closeted and surrounded by so much support, it's like an iron curtain of all sorts, that, you know, he's above the law. Look what he's done with Barr. I mean, look what's coming out now. They're coming up with all sorts of, you know, ways of countering the wave that's coming at him, from the blue wave that's coming at him, and it's just unfortunate, you know? So, I mean, I could be wrong. I can't say this applies to AOC or people who are just getting into the Congress. But, you know, when I got into the radio business 1,000 years ago, I used to work with this DJ, Eddie O.J., started the group The O.J. Some of you may remember if you go that far back. And I worked one of the things that I learned from Eddie, always told me that you got to have some F-U money on the side if you know what I'm talking about. And maybe this may be a poor analysis, but one thing I've learned in any, and of course there are people out there who are not making enough to even start a GoFundMe, you know? But the bottom line is, people whose health insurance is better than mine, people who have the best of care, you know, they have a moral responsibility. They have, you know, I'm sorry, I can't get away with the stuff that people who are elected to government can get away with, you know? And I say this with all due respect, because I know your family's history, Eric, and it's laudable. These were praiseworthy people in your family, and still to this day. But the fact of the matter is, people like O'Connell and Lindsey Graham and just the Republican Party, the way it stands right now, and all the idiots that support that, Candace Owens, somebody who looks like us and comes out with the rhetoric that she comes out with, you know, just amazes me. They can't seem to see what's going on.
Yeah, those are the
people that I worry about.
Understood. Let's unpack it a little bit, though. First, some of them, they don't all have a side hustle. That's just not correct. Some of them do, that have attained the power and realize they could use it to flip it. But then again, those are the ones that don't have that much integrity, right, if they go to elected office looking for a side hustle or looking for a way to turn that exposure into their own, lining their own pockets, right? A lot of the people that came out of the civil rights movement that happened to get elected to office is because there was a necessity. Our people are catching hell. We need to do something to alleviate the position and the status and the treatment that's being received to our people, so we'll run for office. So therefore, there's a certain level of integrity there. But even some of those individuals can lose sight when they start getting exposed to more money, certain limelights and things like that. It's very similar to the entertainment industry. People start making money, start being around people start catering to them, and certain individuals can lose sight of what they're doing. So, but I say to you that if you take someone coming from, say, wherever they're coming from, a guy that's coming from, let's say, Nebraska, right? Coming to Washington, gets elected to Congress, making the most money he's ever made in his life. Got two kids coming up. They need to go to college. Got a mortgage. Don't forget, you've got to maintain two mortgages or at least two sets of bills now, because now they live part-time in another state and while they're traveling. So, yeah, there is, I understand what you're saying, and that's the emotion. The moral aspect is what they ought to do, but the reality is that they're going to adhere to what their bottom line is, right? Which is kind of similar to why a lot of these people are talking about, I need to go back to work. I understand this is life and death, but it's life and death for me at home if I don't go get this money and put it on the table. So my point is, people are going to do what they have to do. Now, when you get to that point where, or if you're the type of individual that said, I'm going to go down here and look out for myself and see what's in it for me particularly, kind of like the guy that's maintaining the address at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yeah, those aren't the type of individuals that you want to be representing you, because they have an ulterior motive. They don't have a we
I'm down here representing we because my community needs this or that. They got a me perspective. I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to do just like Trump came out the other day when everybody was praising the governors and they were getting higher marks in the poll than he was, and he had to come out and say, don't forget about me. I'm the one who put him in place to shine. This is the type of individual, an example of the type of individual that does not need to be in that position, because they're coming from the position of me first as opposed to we first. But make no mistake about it, when you get down to it, it's about, you know, that very serious and basic thing that we all go through, the kitchen table issues. Now, once you get in the position of power, position of influence, a position of money, it depends on what you do once you get there. And this makes me think about a documentary I just watched, as well as a movie about Adam Clayton Powell and about the tactics that he used and his behavior once he got in office, right? So they said Adam abused certain things. What did he abuse? He's claimed to have abused the same things that other congressmen of his level were abusing. But did he deliver for his community? Did he deliver for black people? Did he put legislation through that helped black people on a whole? The facts point to yes. So therefore, his integrity and the things he did morally that got him in trouble, yeah, he shouldn't have done those things. But to say, do as I say, not as I do, is not something that creates fairness in a society. And to get down there and to have him do, it's like Clinton. It's like, what are you impeaching him for? You're impeaching him for lying on the perjury, but what did he lie about? He lied about doing an extramarital affair that pretty much 98% of married men in the United States would lie about. But how does that affect his record? And, of course, you want to establish the legal school of thought that they were trying to establish was the precedent for lying. If he lies about this, what else will he lie about? Well, I mean, that's something to be judged by everybody. But certainly, if you look at an individual lying about having an extramarital affair and a guy that lies about his taxes, lies about what's the weather outside, lies about the size of a crowd that came to see him, lies unnecessarily, I don't know. How are you going to weigh who's worse in that scenario? I would suggest that all reasonable-minded people might point to that dude who lies when he don't have a need, when he lies just to be lying, just to make himself look good, as opposed to someone who's lying to save something precious and dear for him and to save ultimate embarrassment. Context is everything, I would suggest to people. But that's just me. I don't know how y'all feel about it. I'm interested to find out, you know? But that's what a lot of people want to talk about.
How big was that fish you just caught?
There you go. That's exactly my point, right? That's exactly my point.
Exactly.
Context.
I get it.
You know? Which kind of segues me into a turtle man or Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for him to choke on his words because, you know, he talks like, I'm just waiting for him to start coughing. But had the nerve the other day, you know, to talk about the President Obama should keep his mouth shut. Okay, you know. But what the other thing was that it was classless. That's what really got me. That it was classless for Obama to say it. Now, he didn't say nothing about a man who talks about grabbing chicks and then you know what. He didn't say nothing about a guy who talked about how good the people in Charlottesville, some one of which ran over a lady and killed her. He didn't talk about how classless that was when Trump praised both of those people. Didn't talk about how classless he was to make fun of a disabled man. Didn't talk about how classless it was to make fun of one of his colleagues who was dead. But still and yet, he found a way to find that what Barack Obama did was classless. I'm not surprised. Nobody should be surprised because this is the same Mitch McConnell who didn't go to the inauguration and held a kind of a dinner or luncheon in a way how they could plan out not to help Barack Obama achieve anything. Talk about classless. Talk about low.
Yeah.
They all need to get what's coming to them. And you know what?
And I hopefully
karma,
it's coming soon.
Karma is a motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's why that virus is closing in on them. That's why that virus is closing in on them. The president's daughter,
yeah.
someone close to her got it. The big head Stephen Miller, his wife got it. Mike Pence, someone close, the wife happened to be,
so
she got
bigoted.
It. The valet that's giving them food got it. Yeah, it's closed. The world is closing in on them. That's why he's crazy. And you know what happens with a rat, a cornered rat or a cornered animal? We got to watch because they're liable to do anything, right? And we see what's happening. This guy is trying to do anything. And had the women, those two women reporters scared him off the podium the other day because they asked some questions that he didn't like. What kind of president do we have? This is absurd. This is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any thoughts from you gentlemen? Thanks for the music.
Well,
I hear what you're saying. I'm in agreement.
I got a little humor for you.
Mm-hmm.
The president's top 10 excuses why his stuff stinks. Think about this. Number 10, President Obama. No, excuse me. President Barack Hussein Obama. That's number 10. Number 9, why does his stuff stink? Hillary Clinton. Number 8, Joe Biden. Number 7, don't forget Mueller time. He was the lie detector. Number 6, Congressman Adam Schiff. Put the fear in you know who. Oh, number 5, it's not my fault. You see, he's just waiting for everybody to say it's not my fault. How is this my fault? It's not my fault. Number 4, Nancy Pelosi. She whips him into a frenzy. Okay, it's almost like it's like say the word. It's like slowly I turn, step by step.
Yeah.
You remember? Okay. Number 3, China. Think about it. China has his bugaboo better than anybody else, and guess who owns his birthplace home in Queens? China. A real estate company in China actually owns Trump's birthplace home in Queens. Number 2 that really rankles him, fake news. Fake news drives him bananas. I mean, he tweets on his toilet more than most people can even imagine about going into that room. I swear, when they finally leave the White House, please do an exorcism in the toilet room where he tweets. And the number 1 thing that really just bugs him and he can't escape it because that's why his stuff stinks so badly. Number 1, President Barack Hussein Obama. Okay? And just say the name and it drives him bananas. All right, time for him to go, folks. The 25th
That's right.
Amendment.
Yeah.
This guy.
and it's just unfortunate. I mean, the thing is that just the way his demeanor has been, and you juxtapose his demeanor to any other president in our respective lifetimes, it's just, it's unfathomable. I don't remember anything. You know, the only person I could compare, and I'm a baby of the 50s. I saw, not Reagan, but Nixon act out of school. It's amazing how he was praising Nixon the other day for his demeanor, and all that. And talked about where he thought Nixon made mistakes. And, it's just unfortunate. But it is what it is. And, I just don't know what more to say. I mean, you would like to think that at some point he would have learned something by now, because it's not easy being in that position, as Obama said the other day. I mean, and it's one thing for them to criticize him, but he had no idea that he was being recorded to be played back on the air, anywhere. Somebody happened to get access to it and they put it out. But the fact of the matter is, under the best administrations, this would have been a problem. But this man had infinite knowledge going back to November. And more importantly, he dismantled the one office that Obama set up back when he was undergoing the problems with Ebola and the N1F1 crisis back then. You know, he didn't put the country at jeopardy, and this could very well happen again. I mean, it's, you know, we've learned a lot from this. It shows the frailties of healthcare in our community. It's also given opportunity to some people to become inventive with regard to survival instincts, and I praise Americans for doing that. And the deal is that this ain't a racial thing, but Trump has made it racial. You know, I mean,
yeah.
COVID-19 does not look at color and just go after, we're going to kill a whole bunch of black and Latino people today, and that's it. If we can humanize it, you come in contact with this virus, regardless of what color you are, you know, you're dead meat. I'm afraid to even say it like that, but that's just how it is. You know, I think of the poor actor who lost a limb out in the West Coast. Can't think of his name, but he appeared in Bronx Tale. Gifted actor, young man, and you know, we still don't know how horrific the impact of this one virus could be. But this man has politicized everything. This is why he needs to go. This is why there need to be a Trump death clock on every, you know, highlighted corner in any municipality to see what he's doing to this country. And you know, I just hope it changes. I mean I don't see it will. I mean, even if given a second term, you know, something's got to come out of this. You know, it's too many lives have been lost, and then he sits there in a quandary wondering why or where, how come he's not getting the black vote that he hopes to win by. He's giving money to certain black churches.
I don't think he's wondering that. I don't think he's sitting there wondering and worried about us. I guarantee you he ain't sitting there wondering and worried about us.
Every once in a while, I read stuff like that, Eric, where, you know, he's concerned. He hired,
don't believe it.
One thing I'll say to that, I was just going to say it at the end, and we're pretty close to it. You know, he fired the leadership of the U.S. Postal Service. I got problems with the Postal Service myself. You
know, he's putting his boy in place so they can steal the election. They're putting the boy in place so they can steal the election. That's one of the things.
That's all part of it.
Yeah.
You know,
we have been
at the forefront, people of color, because I know when my father first came to this country, he couldn't get a job doing what he was doing, you know, what he learned in school and stuff like that. But a government job working at PO sent 5 kids to school, you know, gave him an opportunity. You know,
there
and as bad as I like to badmouth the postal lady who comes around my place and always put my business in somebody else's mail, I still respect what those people do.
Let me just jump in. Yeah, there it is, and we got to go because we got like a minute 44.
Got you.
You're exactly right. The fact that Obama said what he said, you know, he's the last person to be concerned about it getting out because he's certainly willing to stand by it, and that's what we, you know, if you're willing to stand by what you say, and you're speaking regardless of what your point of view is, you're willing to stand behind your words, then it doesn't make a difference whether those words get out. And if those words are righteous and exact, then even better. It's only those cowards that, like, you know who don't want to take responsibility for anything. So there it is. We're going to say goodnight to our boys tonight. Mr. Wayne Gilman, why don't you say goodbye to the people's legendary newsman?
Okay, you brought up Adam Powell. Keep the faith, baby.
There it is. There it is. Thank you, sir. There it is. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Talk to you again next week. Brother Byron Saunders, let the peoples know how you really feel about it, my friend.
Peace and love.
As we
always
go out.
And remember, you hold the victory with your vote. Make sure you use it. We are the power. We are the majority.
That's right. There it is. Talk to you again next week, Brother Byron Saunders,
right,
legendary historian. This has been K, Son and Friends, formerly K Thompson Live. I am the son of K, Citizen Eric Payne. And, we'll do it again. You can listen to us anytime you want because we're archived on blogtalkradio.com. And also you can listen to us usually live on Wednesdays. We got to go, y'all.
You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll talk to you again next week.